I'd like for you to turn to the story of rich man and Lazarus. That's found in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. As I said this morning, I'd like to tell you some things that I'd heard preached several years ago, and then I myself preached it at Rocketdyne a couple of years ago, and spread a little light that we don't normally think about on this story. Luke 16, verses 19, starting there through 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, the beggar died, and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his fingers in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they'll repent. And he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. This story tells us a lot about two men. One was rich. One was a very poor beggar. One was clothed richly, purple and fine linen. The other one in rags. Said one fared sumptuously every day, the other one just a beggar, longing for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. One of them would be welcome in any society, the other would be an outcast. One enjoyed good health, and the other was full of sores. We find in this story that those who are better off are not necessarily better. Things that might be well on the surface, not necessarily well with our Savior. In 1 Samuel 16 and 7 we read, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man seeth on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then in the New Testament, Luke says in Luke 16:15, that which is highly esteemed among men is abominable in the sight of God. Jesus once said to the Pharisees and the scribes, for ye are like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bone and unclean. I think maybe we're prone to put too much stress on the outward appearance. But a fine appearance doesn't necessarily mean final improvement before the master. This is one lesson we can learn from this story about the rich man and Lazarus. But let's go on a little bit. Another thought is the foolishness in trusting in riches. I think Brother Bobby talked on that a bit in the last day or two, or the last week or two. This man was condemned not because he was rich, nor was the beggar saved just because he was poor. The rich man was lost because he trusted in riches. The Bible says, "He trusted in his riches. He that trusteth in riches shall fall." Proverbs 11:28. The rich man trusted in riches and he fell. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "The love of money is the root of all evil, which some men covet after. And they have erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." The rich man was so high-minded that he had no concern for the poor beggar that lay at the gate. Instead of trusting in the living God, he trusted in his riches. 1 Timothy 6:17-18, Paul admonishes Timothy these words, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded, nor trust in certain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. They that do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." That's in 1 Timothy 6:17-19. The rich man then was condemned, not because he was rich, because he made riches what he depended on, his God, as some would call it. He was rich in money, but he was not rich in good works. In fact, he was selfish, thinking of himself. He laid up treasures on earth, but failed to lay up treasures in heaven. This man then is a good example of how foolish it is to trust in riches. Mark 8:36 reads as follows, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" This rich man must have gained a lot of this world, but he lost his soul. He learned a life lesson in death that he needed so much to learn in life. We also see here the tragedy of being lost eternally. Verses 23 and 24 we read, "In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that I may dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." If earlier in this life the rich man had only known just how awful it was to trust in riches, no doubt the outcome might have been different. While his body fared sumptuously every day, the scripture says his soul was starving. I can't think of any greater tragedy than being lost for eternity. I'm going to repeat that. I can't think of anything greater tragedy of being lost eternally. Not only had the rich man neglected his soul, but he also neglected the spiritual needs of his family. This is evident when he wanted Abraham to warn his brethren back home. We read a few minutes ago in verse 20, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried to the angels by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and was buried." In Hebrews 9:27 we read, "It is appointed one unto man once to die, but after that the judgment." Death is no respecter of persons. The rich, the poor, everybody in between, everybody likes going to die. That is, unless Christ comes back before thee. It matters not how much money you have. Your money cannot buy off death. Money can buy insurance, of course, to help a man's family after he dies, but no amount of money can insure a person against death. Death will come to everyone. We need to recognize it, and we need to be prepared. You know, the kind of funeral one has doesn't determine the kind of future he has. It's quite evident that the rich man had a good funeral, an expensive funeral probably. The poor man was probably buried in a pauper's grave. We don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't say exactly. Record only shows that the rich man died and went to torment. And Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Another lesson we can read in this story, that man is conscious after death. I'm going to point out 8 things here, and I want you to think seriously about them. This is what I told Brother Rue this morning I was going to tell you about. Think about these things that the rich man could do after he died. 1, he could see. He could recognize. He could speak. He could cry. He could feel. He could reason. He could remember. And he had desire. Those 8 things, remember those. It's told in this story. This story, if you've got a Bible, is red lettered. It's told by Christ. He could feel the pain and torment. He recognized Lazarus. He recognized Abraham. He remembered how refreshing cool water was. He cried for mercy. He remembered he had brethren back home. And who can read this story, as I said, as told by our Lord, and not believe that we have some consciousness after death? I said this morning, I've only heard this sermon one time exactly like this. And I made notes, and I believed it 100%. I think probably the worst thing that can happen to a person to be lost is to remember. I believe that. Think of how many times someone, maybe a friend, maybe a relative, maybe your spouse, tried to get you to become a Christian. Or if you was a Christian, to live like a Christian. How many times? Now think of this. When we die, we're going to remember that over and over and over again, either in heaven or in hell. Now this story also refutes some false ideas. Let's study those. First, and Brother Bobby touched on this a little bit. I think it was Wednesday night. The idea of universal salvation is refuted. You know, there are many people who believe that everybody's going to be saved. The fact that one man died and was lost, one man died and was saved, refutes this idea. But there's other passages as well that backs this up. Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." Also, Jesus said in John 8:24, I think you probably know these words, "For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." Powerful words. Jesus said them. Also in Luke 13:3 we read, "I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Then again in Matthew 10:32-33, "Whosoever shall confess me before man, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." That's powerful, brothers. That's powerful. In John 3:3-5 we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That's plain and simple truth. So from these passages and others, it's not until these conditions are met is a man going to be saved. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 we read, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power." Some more powerful words. The Bible does not teach that all men are going to be saved. But it does teach, as we brought out in Sunday school this morning, that salvation is offered to everyone that will obey. We've got to accept the terms that's laid down in the Scriptures. Another idea This idea of materialism, some think that death ends it all. Just like Rover, you're dead all over. I think I've heard that a time or two. But the fact that the rich man died and Lazarus died and then ceased not to exist refutes this idea. It answers Job's question. Job said in Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? This answers that question. And John 5:28-29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Death is not annihilation. There is something beyond the grave. We know that all that's in the grave will hear the Lord's voice and shall come forth. And beyond the grave, there is eternity. Every man's going to spend eternity, either in heaven or in hell. A third idea, spiritualism. And when I think of spiritualism, I think of this gal all dressed up with a crystal ball in front of her. But then, spiritualism is the idea that the living can communicate with the dead. This idea is refuted here. The rich man wanted to deliver a message to his brethren, and he could not. You remember, the rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus back to his father's house to warn his brothers, but this request was denied. In verse 29 it says, they have Moses and the prophet, let him hear them. But the rich man said, if one was sent to them from the dead, they would repent. Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. So the idea of spiritualism is refuted here. A fourth thing, the idea of a second chance. The rich man pleaded for mercy, but he was denied it. He had had his chance, but he threw it away. Once death comes, there's no second chance. It's either now or it's never. 1 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Inasmuch as there's no second chance, it behooves us to make preparations now. Tomorrow might be too late. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not of what a day may bring forth. Get it in a minute. Proverbs 27:1. It's foolish to delay. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The story of the rich man and Lazarus teaches there be no second chance. One more idea. The idea of temporary punishment in perdition is refuted here. Some seem to think that men might be punished for a period of time, and after being purged of their sins and the fires of torment, then they can go to heaven. This story refutes that. Listen to what is said to the rich man in verse 26. Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Doesn't say anything about it being a bridge there, does it? It says there is a great gulf fixed. So they that would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us who would come from thence. So there's not going to be any crossing over. Once a man goes to torment, he's there forever. Or if man goes to heaven, he's there forever. This being the case, the time to make sure of your salvation is where you live. The story of rich man and Lazarus, if you've got a Bible and it's red lettered, you'll see it's told by the Lord. We can learn this lesson. We don't discount it as just a story, or we don't discount it as just a parable. We need to accept it as face value. We must realize that it contains the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he intended us to get this lesson that he was teaching and the warning that he was giving. Matthew 10:32 reads, Whosoever acknowledge me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Then again in Matthew 12:30, Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Matthew 12:30, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. We need to profit by what the Lord has said. Decide now to give yourself completely over to, that we may escape the condemnation of hell and accept the conditions that laid down that we may go to heaven. We have, I said this morning, the same Lord, the same baptism, the same need to be saved as we did almost 2,000 years ago into the same church. And right now we'll offer the same invitation. John?